8 o'clock at night, the Lord said, go to the church. But I'm at home. I'm at home. But he said, no, he said, go to the church. I need you to leave this environment. I need you to leave the environment of your home, the comfort of your home, the distractions of your home. I need you to leave that environment. So what did I do? At about 10 minutes to 8 last night, put on a pair of shoes, got in my car. Carrie didn't ask me where I was going. She knew where I was going. I spend a lot of time here, just so you know. And I came to the church. And when I got to the church here, I just started, you know, praying a little bit and looking over some of my notes for this morning. But I got a word from the Lord last night. And he was telling me, he says, I've been here. I wrote it down as he's telling me this. I wrote it down. He said, I've been hearing a lot of, I can't do it. I can't see it happening. Things have been this way for a long time and I can't see change coming. And he's asking me, not that he didn't know the answer to this question, but he's asking me, what's happening to my people? He's saying, what's happening to their confessions? What has happened to all things are possible to them that believe? What has happened to with God all things are possible? What has happened to I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? You are my people. Realize who I am. He said, trust and act upon the things I've spoken. I've given you my word. I trust you with the ministry I've designed and assigned for each of you and that I placed you in. Don't give up. Don't give in to what you may see. My kingdom must advance, and I need you speaking and doing the right things. No more negative thoughts. No more negative confessions. And then he told me, he says, his word and paying attention to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is the key. Circumstances don't dictate what we think, what we feel, what we do, what we say, because circumstances will get us saying and thinking and doing the wrong things. If I were to think about, I was talking to an individual here not long ago, and if I were to take on his way of thinking, this summer slump when everybody goes on vacations and the churches empty out, if I were to take his way of thinking, well, that's just the way it is. If I would take on that way of thinking, I could look out and say, man, what in the world is happening? Are we going to pay the electric bill this month? Are we going to be able to keep the air conditioner? Some of you may or may not know, we replaced the motor in the air conditioning unit out back here this last week. And it's been funny because I'm having to play with the thermostat back there because 72 is now too cold. So I bump it up to 74, trying to find a place where it's not so cold in here. So we're still working on that. But I could take his way of thinking and say, what are we going to do? Woe is me. I can't do that. I have to change my thinking. Doesn't matter what I'm seeing. I got to change my thinking and I got to change my confession. So as he's telling me these things, as this word that he's given me last night, who do you think he's speaking to first? He's speaking to me first. Get your act together is what he's telling me. He may not be telling you guys that, but that's what he's telling me. But he said, he told me that his word and paying attention to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is key. If you spend more time in the word and let the Holy Spirit speak, things will advance. If we let the Holy Spirit speak and we spend time in the word, things will advance. If we spend more time listening to what another preacher tells you about the summer slump, things won't advance. Because your thinking becomes, well, it's just the way it is. People don't show up. The people who aren't here, I hope they're having a great time. I know they're on vacations. I'm going on vacation in September, just so you know. I'm going to North Carolina, to the mountains and the ocean. Okay. But I can't get caught up in what I see. I've got to get caught up in what the Word says. That's where my focus needs to be. He said, following His leading, the Holy Spirit, and you'll speak and do the things He hears from the Father. If I listen to him, I'm doing things that heaven says. If I listen to the Holy Spirit, I'm doing things that heaven says. If I listen to the preacher down the street or the preacher in Effingham or the preacher over here, and I listen to them, I'm listening to flawed men. I don't want to do that. It's not that they can't have good advice about some things, that I can't learn some things, but if I want to walk in truth, then I need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And it says here in John 16, 13, we've heard this many a time. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. He'll guide you into all truth. He's not going to guide you into, well, what do you see? Because what I see, if it doesn't line up with the Word, isn't truth. But he says he'll lead and guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears. Who's he hearing it from? If I want to be guided by what's coming from heaven, that's what the Holy Spirit's speaking. Now, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us a lot of times? Through the Word. I think we're too many times we're looking for this audible voice, or we're looking for this feeling that moves us this way, or this feeling that moves us that way. If we trust in feelings, not that we don't have emotions, but if we trust in those feelings and those emotions, we can go down a path that it's hard to get back from. I've told my daughter before, emotions lie. If you're led by emotions, they will lie to you. The devil will push things this way and that way to flare up your emotions, and they'll lie to you. What you need to, I've told them, the truth is the Word. That's what you're moved by. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In the course of this last night, the Lord speaking to me, and I left here, I don't know, I left here somewhere around 10:30. So got here about 8 o'clock, left about 10:30 last night. But he reminded me of this man of God. His name was Rodney Smith. And he was once asked if he had discovered the secret to revival. We always talk about revival, and I want to be revived in every area of my life. I don't want to be stagnant in any area of my life, and I know nobody else does here. And you know what? You all are great. We've only been here 8 months, but I've seen, just in the 8 months I've been here, I've seen advancements. I've seen people come a stepping forward and say, here, let me help with that. I had somebody yesterday tell me, I'll just say it, Gary Beal Jr., said to me, we cleaned out this fence row back here. There's a bunch of brush. Randy, myself, and the two Garys, we were back out there. I said, you know, if I had to, I'd have gone out there and done it myself. And he goes, you shouldn't have to. I appreciate that. You shouldn't have to. Peg Sotomayor told Carrie one time at the one of the meals we had back here. Carrie cooked up all the barbecue and stuff for that. Peg said, you shouldn't have had to. Now, is it our fault that maybe we didn't tell somebody? It can be, but we should never have to. If you need help digging a ditch in your backyard, call me. I've mentioned to people that I like to do lawn work, and I've had one person said, come on over. But we shouldn't have to. But he said here, Rodney Smith was asked what if he had discovered the secret to revival, and his response was simple. He said, draw a circle around yourself and pray. Oh, Lord, revive everything in this circle. So where does revival start? It doesn't start in the church as a whole. It starts in the individual. And how does that revival start? We shift our focus to the Word and the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word. Not on circumstances. Not on emotions. Not on people's opinions. Not on people's advice. We switch our focus to the Word and the Spirit. When I see something that, or somebody says something to me, or I see a situation, and I'm not sure what to do about it, or they give me some sort of response as to what I should do about it, my first response should be, what does the Word say? If it doesn't line up with the Word, I got to reject it. Not that I won't listen to people's advice. I do listen to people's advice. Just trying to, debating whether I should say this or not. The way that I was thinking it in my head. But I do listen to people's advice. But if it doesn't edify me, if it doesn't encourage me, and I don't receive comfort from it, I reject that too. And it may be good advice, but they're coming at me from an angle, and I'm not talking about here, I'm just talking about life in general, and you may do the same thing. But if they're coming at me from an angle of anger or manipulation, I don't listen to them. I just can't. Anyway, moving on. So we need a revival of the Word to be stirred in us. We need more of the Word. We need a revival of acting on the Word within us. We need more of acting upon the Word. And when we get more Word in us, we get more the letting the Holy Spirit speak to us, and we get more of acting upon the Word, then we see advancements. If we sit back and we wish something will happen, if we sit back and complain about something that we wish would happen, then there's no advancement. I'm sure they won't mind me saying this, but Brent and Lou's and the coffee bar out there. Anybody appreciate the coffee bar out there? There's some people who appreciate the coffee bar. They said no other pastor would ever let them have that out there. I did. We talked about it, and we had a nice long conversation about it. But I also told them, I said, I don't want anything to do with it. Number one, I don't like coffee. No booze. I don't like coffee. And if you say you're going to do something, I want you to take ownership of it. So if there's nobody out there, they're not here today, but they made sure that somebody was. And maybe there's some other people out here that maybe wants to be, what do they call that, a barista or something like that? It wants to fill that role. Get up with Brent and Lou's. I'm sure they would love to have the help out there. But take ownership of it. So we need to take ownership of the Word. We need to take ownership of acting upon the Word, doing what it says. Now, some people may have come in here this morning and looking for a feel-good sermon. Well, this is a feel-good sermon. Feeling good that God wants to involve you wholeheartedly in His plan. And He set it up to where you can be successful. He says His Word and the Spirit. Listening to the Holy Spirit and then doing it, and you'll have success. It's simple. Some people try to make this more complicated than it is. We got to be this big theologian to understand this and that, and I've got to have this super extra spiritual. God has gifted me with this super extra something. No, it's simple. Read the Word, obey the Word. Can I get one amen? Okay, I got one. All right, good deal. But, feeling good that He gives us, like I just said, He gives us the tools. We don't have to wonder if we have the equipment we need or the weaponry we need to go into battle. He's equipped us already. And we'll get into some of those messages. But He's equipped us already. God shook me, and I've shared this before. He shook me a few years ago. Sometimes we need to be shook a little bit. Not shook, maybe just reminded. And he reminded me, and I've shared this before, when I worked at the prison, everybody knows I worked at the prison for 26 years. I told somebody at a meeting we were at recently, you had to get up and introduce yourself. This is an RMAI meeting up in Champaign. And I got up and started to introduce Carrie and I. I said, yeah, my name is Rick Medeiros. I was in prison for 26 years. And left it at that. Of course, then our former pastor, well, you worked there. Oh, yeah, I worked there. And then he looked at me and says, oh, sorry, I spoiled your joke. But I was in the prison for 26 years. The first 3 years I worked there, it was my job. I felt that it was my job to make their lives as miserable as possible. Why? Because of the way I was treated. The way that they reacted to me. I didn't know my name for the first 3 years. I was called everything else. You know, when you do your job, even in, if you're doing the right thing, a lot of people don't like it, no matter what prison or just general public, they don't like it. But because I was doing my job, I was called everything for 3 years, and I felt it was my job to make their lives as miserable as possible. And I've said it before, I'm walking down one gallery in North Segregation, where the worst of the worst of the worst of the state of Illinois are all housed, and I come up to cell 127, and it's like God grabbed me by the shoulders, shook me, and said, wake up. I died for them just like I did you. Bam. Immediately, my thought and my focus turned at that moment. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be reminded that our focus needs to shift. Shift our focus off of how we're feeling. If I go by how I'm feeling sometimes, there'd be some hurt people. Because sometimes I'm not feeling too positively toward people. But you know what? God is big. He's working on me. I haven't made it yet, and neither have any of you, just so you know. But he's working on me. He's shifting my focus in a lot of different areas. So then he goes on here to tell me, he says, stir it up. Take your personal feelings and opinions out of the equation. Ouch. How we think things should be doesn't matter. What does the word say? And then he said, stir up the gifts that I've given you. And then advance. He reminded me of something that Mark Hankins said. God's smarter than we are. Just so you know, he's smarter than we are. And if we'll listen to him, he'll make us look like a genius. We go into situations and circumstances where a lot of people don't see a way. They don't see a way out. They don't see a way around, up, under. They don't see a way. If we'll listen, we'll take what the Word says, listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying, he'll make us look smart in any given situation. And I will say that when I was working at the prison, when I was advancing for God in that situation there, people came to me asking me for advice. Senior staff, ranking staff would come to me asking me for advice because I believe when I finally woke up and said, my opinion doesn't matter, how they're treating me doesn't matter. What matters is what the Word of God says. What matters is how the Holy Spirit is leading me. When I started getting that attitude and I changed my focus to that, people came to me because I started receiving godly wisdom in any given situation. I could think of things, and people think, boy, you're smart. No, I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit. I had to trust in the Holy Spirit for a hatch on the back of my car that I couldn't get shut, and I was going to have to drive 3 hours north, tied that thing down like the Beverly Hillbillies with a rope on the back there, you know, and wondered, you know, get the exhaust come floating up into the vehicle, and I'm sitting there probably on exhaust fumes driving down the road, and but it's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Well, he told me, get the electric locks, do this, and as soon as I did that, click, lock, drove home. And then the same hatch, I couldn't get it open. And so when I got home, it said, well, okay, well, I called a repair guy. Yeah, it was going to cost $250 for the repair guy to fix it. Come on. So I believe God has blessed us with YouTube. I got on YouTube, and for $25, I fixed it myself in an hour. I believe he gives us wisdom in all those different areas. If we submit to him, toss our opinions to the side, it's not that he's given us common sense, and we should use it. But guess what? Even with my common sense, I'm going to say, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it that you have to say first? What is it that you're speaking to me first? And then he was telling me here, he said, you know, we should be an ambassador and only represent the interests of the one who's called us. Do the things wholeheartedly that we were called to do. So if he's put us in a position, and he has, as a believer, he's told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's told you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He's told you you'll speak with new tongues. He's told you if you drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt you. He's told you all these things. As a believer, those are the things that we're required to do. They're not suggestions, those are commandments, just so you know. That's the Great Commission. He's commissioned each and every one of us for that. So he wants us to do the things wholeheartedly. Now, guess what? Devil forces, that's what I called them. I wrote it down here in my notes. Devil forces will keep coming at us, trying to get us to shift our focus. Those devil forces, I don't care. I'm determined to shift my focus. I'm trusting in the Word and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Guess what? Devil forces will still try to attack you. Luke chapter 4. It's a passage of Scripture that we've read many, many, many times. Jesus is taken out there. He's tempted by the devil. They started talking about bread and stones. They started talking about all this land, I'll give it to you. They start talking about, you know, if you go up here and you jump off, the angels will pick you up. You won't dash your foot on a stone. Well, what was Jesus' response in each one of those things? The Word says. The Word says. No matter if you're frustrated with somebody, what does the Word say about that frustration you're feeling? And you act upon the Word. Never act upon your emotions. But the last line here in that passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. So what's that saying? He's not giving up. No matter how determined you are, he's not giving up. But guess what? God has given us every tool, every weapon we need to fight him. Matter of fact, I said it earlier, we always operate from a position of victory. We're never trying to win with the devil because he's already defeated. He may not realize it, but we realize it. And when we realize it and we use the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, we can win in every situation. The title of my sermon this morning, I knew I would get to it. The title is Unbeatable, Unshakable, and Undefeated in Him. Some of you may be familiar with Kenneth Hagin. Not senior, but junior. He's not called senior. It's Pastor Kenneth Hagin. He's famous for saying, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Satan cannot win in any situation in my life. Satan can't win in any situation in your life. This should be encouraging somebody here today. You're going through something. I don't care who you are, you're going through something. You can't lose. If you take the Word of God, trust what it says, and act upon it, you can't lose. But the many people that know Pastor Hagin, Pastor Hagin is carrying my pastor. We're not in church there this morning, but he's our pastor. That's who we're accountable to. We've taken on the same attitude sitting underneath his leadership that he has. We cannot be defeated, and we will not quit. One thing the Lord spoke to me, I wrote this down here too, talking about Carrie and I, and you can apply this to your life. We are unbeatable. We can't be beat. It's impossible. The devil may try to condemn us, but he can never beat us. Never. Can't happen. You know, you may have been knocked down, but the Word of God overcomes any knockdown. Luke 10:19. It says, I've given you true authority. You can smash vipers, devils, and scorpions, demons, under your feet. You can walk all over the power of the enemy. You can't be harmed. And as I was looking at that first part of that verse there, it says, I've given you true authority. What that means is, we have the same authority that Jesus has. In any situation, we have the same authority he has. He said, I've given you true authority. So, we've heard this example many a time. If I grab, I think Pastor Hagin even said it. They would send him up to the store with a list of grocery items. He'd go to the store and he would say to the grocer, I need these grocery items, and you put them on my dad's account. He went on his dad's authority. He operated in his dad's authority. And the grocer said, okay. Jesus is saying, When he cast out that demon there, that madman of Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5, he's saying you can do the same thing. He's given you the authority to do that. Never doubt that. Never doubt that. There is so much power in each and every one of us in this room that when we finally realize it, and we are realizing it, but when we finally realize it, man, the explosive things that are going to happen in our church, in our lives, in our personal lives, with our friends, in our families. But he's saying here, it goes on to say, but listen, that's not the point. This is verse 20. Don't be elated that evil spirits leave when you say to them, leave. Rejoice that your names, N-A-M-E-S, are written in heaven. I've given you the authority to do all these things, but man, when you can lead somebody to Jesus and their name is written in heaven, that's something to rejoice about. That's something to really get excited about. That's something that we're going to have a party in heaven about. I know there's people that I've led to the Lord that people had given up on. Said, man, they're worthless. They've done this in their life. There's nothing, there's no redeeming factors in them at all. But man, when I get to heaven and I'll see them, man, we're going to have a good old time rejoicing because we had that moment where somebody was brave enough to say, hey, do you want to receive Jesus as your Savior? I still marvel at John Scott, 95 years old, never had heard the message, the salvation message before. I shared it with him and just a few days later he died. I'll see him in heaven. He'll slap me on the back and good for you. No, but yeah, it's we can't be defeated and we will not quit. We are unbeatable, we're unshakable, and we're undefeatable. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Whoo! If God is for us, there is nobody in this world, physically, there is no devil or demon that's in this world, if God's for us, that can stand against us. Why? Because we operate with the same authority. Jesus just said back here in Luke 10, I've given you authority. We operate in the same authority. It says here, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. I'm in Christ. There's no condemnation for me. Huh. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. When we're talking about who condemns us, Romans 8, chapter 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a comma there. Who do not walk according to the flesh. If you start walking according to the flesh, there's a price to pay. But it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk in Christ, who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I love this last part here. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And then it says, no, in all these things. What things? Oh, the things it says, hardships, persecutions, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. No, in all of those things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are in him. He loves us. Nothing can defeat us. We are unbeatable. We are unshakable. And we are undefeatable. We will not be defeated and we will not quit. We are unbeatable. We can't be beat. It's impossible. The devil may try to condemn us, but he can never beat us. Man, those are declarations right there that we need to get down in on the inside of us and say, I can't lose. I'm really trying to encourage people here today because I just sensed it over the last few days that maybe we don't feel that way all the time. It doesn't matter how we feel. It matters what the Word says. And we just read the Word right here. None of those things can harm us because we're more than conquerors in Him. I'm going to shut this down in about 2 minutes. Land this plane, I should say. When I walk into every room, into every situation, I walk with confidence knowing that God sent me. Do I know everything about every situation? No. Do I believe that the Holy Spirit will show me? Yes. I'm in Him and He's in me. I'm unbeatable, I'm unshakable, and I'm undefeatable. I'm incapable of being defeated. Man, Rick, you are arrogant this morning. I'm just speaking the truth. Because we have Jesus on the inside of us. We're His children. There's nothing that you're going through that can defeat you. This is a faith message, just so you know. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. I'm hoping, like I said, we aren't going to finish here this morning. We may finish next week. But I'm hoping that I got across here this morning that, as I said back here in the very beginning, in the word that the Lord gave me, He's saying, you know, what's happening to my people? What's happening to their confessions? Why are they being more moved by emotions than by my word and by my spirit? Sometimes emotion, the things that are tangible seem more real than God who's invisible. Carrie and I we cleaned out the toddler. Well, I didn't. At the very end, I helped her at the end. But at the very end, we had some things that we didn't want in that room anymore. What do we do with them? Like any church, there's no storage here. So these things here, we thought, put them in a garbage bag and put free toys. And maybe somebody donated this, don't get mad at me, but the little red sliding board that was in there, it's not in there anymore. And we took those little toys and that red sliding board and walked them out to that curb out there. We saw them for a minute. We put them on the curb and we saw them out on the curb. We came back just a short time later and what did we see? Nothing. They were gone. We believed because we've seen it over and over and over. That if you put something on the curb, somebody's going to come by and take it. It doesn't matter whether it's broken down. It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to come by and they're going to pick up what's on that curb. In our In our lives, there are things that we need to put on the curb. We've seen God move too many times in our lives to not to believe that He won't do it again. We trust His word and we're led by the Holy Spirit. We got this junk that we're dealing with, whether it's personal, whether it's something else, let's put it on the curb. And I guarantee you, He's done it before. You'll come by, before you know it, you'll drive by that curb out there and say, where'd that go? It's gone. It's gone. But our focus has to shift. Yes, God gave us emotions. But lay aside those emotions that tend to rule us, that tend to make us do and think and act certain ways. And if we focus on the Word and being led by the Spirit, all of our curbs will be clean. There won't be anything out there. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this morning and this time that we came together to be able to share your Word. And Father, in the bits that we got into, I thank you that you didn't make this a normal service today. A service of routine. I thank you, Father, that you're teaching me more and more to be led by you, to act when I hear your Spirit, to act on it immediately. But Father, I thank you for each person that's in this place today. And Father, I know that you spoke something here today that each person can grab onto, even if it's just one thing that each person can grab onto and say, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to meditate on that. Father, remind us that your Word and your Spirit are key to our lives in advancing in the way that you would have us go. So, Father, we know that when we leave this place, we don't leave you here, but that you go with us. Your Spirit goes with us, leading and guiding us into all truth, showing us things to come.